Hello, it's Monday, June 22nd, and this is Israel in 10, the Misgav Daily Brief. I'm Laura Sellier in Tel Aviv. Iran has begun shipping millions of barrels of oil through the Strait of Hormuz as an interim deal with the United States comes into force. Mediators Qatar and Pakistan say progress has been made. Today, I'm joined by NDTV's senior executive editor, Aditya Raj Kaul, who says the Trump administration has abandoned all of its war objectives in order to end the conflict quickly, and that the region is now more dangerous than it was 3 months ago. Hear our conversation in a moment, but first the headlines. Iran is exporting more oil through the Strait of Hormuz than at any time since the war began. Bloomberg reports that Tehran is shipping millions of barrels of cut-price crude to China following the signing of that interim deal with the United States. Iranian state media says the country's nuclear program was not discussed during 18 hours of negotiations and that no Iranian official met Rafael Grossi, the head of the UN's nuclear watchdog, who was also in Switzerland. Lebanon's President Joseph Aoun has been discussing efforts to end IDF activity in southern Lebanon. He spoke by phone with the US Vice President J.D. Vance, White House envoy Jared Kushner, and Qatar's Prime Minister Mohammed Al-Thani also joined the call. Israel insists it will not leave southern Lebanon until security is restored. According to Israeli media, Jerusalem and Washington have agreed that the IDF will remain in Lebanon, but will have to restrict its military activity and cooperate more closely with CENTCOM. Israel's also considering handing over to the Lebanese army a vast Hezbollah military and tunnel complex close to the village of Tebnit. It's to be seen as a test of Beirut's willingness to confront the Iran-backed group. A major explosion at Qatar's flagship LNG hub in Ras Laffan has left at least 54 people injured and 18 are still missing. The blast occurred during the start-up of operations at the Barzan gas plant, which supplies fuel to Qatar's domestic industries and power sector. Authorities say it was a technical accident and insist there's no threat to public safety, but the extent of the damage to Qatar's critical gas infrastructure is unclear. And finally, Sir Keir Starmer, the first British Prime Minister to recognise a Palestinian state, has resigned after months of political pressure. His premiership was beset by plunging approval ratings, internal divisions, and a series of policy U-turns. He also clashed with Britain's Jewish community over soaring anti-Semitism, including the deadly shooting at the Heaton Park Synagogue and a stabbing attack in London's Golders Green. Before we get to today's conversation, a quick reminder, you can sponsor Israel in 10. Just drop us a line at misgavdailybrief@gmail.com. Now here's NDTV's Aditya Raj Kaul. So the Iranians have gone home. What are your thoughts on how these talks are going so far?
Well, there was a lot of desperation in the Trump administration to come out with a deal. And they wanted this deal to happen as soon as possible. And the kind of terms that have been there clearly indicate that there are a lot of concessions that have been given by the U.S. sides. They do not seem pragmatic at all. They've been criticizing the Obama deal all this while, the JCPOA. They agree and they admit that $300 billion U.S. dollars will be given for reconstruction and the development for the losses and the damages that have happened in the war in Iran. And then the next day, Trump comes on Truth Social and says that not even 10 cents will be given. So what do we believe? Do we believe the deal that has been signed by Trump, Pezeshkian, and Shehbaz Sharif? Or do we believe Trump's Truth Social post? So I think it is hanging in the air still. And the talks that have happened so far in the luxurious, expensive Swiss resort haven't really yielded any results. I would say Qatar and the Pakistanis are trying their best. Their so-called, you know, favorite field marshal, Asim Munir, is also trying his best. But whatever they achieve, whatever they agree upon finally, would be very difficult to implement. And there are several reasons for that. Yep. One is, of course, Israel not being part of this entire deal. Because Israel was an equal partner of this war. The objectives that were in mind at that time for US and Israel, I don't think practically have been met entirely. It does seem like that now US and Israel are not on the same page. At least when it comes to Hezbollah, when it comes to Iran, when it comes to nuclear deterrence or the kind of enrichment where there is no commitment that has been given at all.
Well, the bare minimum was that Trump wanted the Strait of Hormuz open, didn't he? And that's not even certain at this point.
The war began with the ultimate objective of two things. The commitment that nuclear uranium enrichment needs to be stopped, and there needs to be a commitment that at least for the next 10 years or 15 years or 20 years, there will be no enrichment. And second, there was a kind of commitment that Trump gave to the opposition, the kind of protesters that had come out in the last 2 or 3 or 4 years. The Israelis have been smart about it. They've said that we can create circumstances. We can't help the opposition at all. But the Americans said, we will help you. We'll go to
help
whatever
is on
extent.
The way. Yep.
Help is on the way. That did not happen. And now they're not even talking about it. Instead, in the last 2 to 3 weeks, the entire narrative has shifted towards Strait of Hormuz. How to keep Strait of Hormuz open. How to stop the attacks. Earlier, the attacks were happening from the Iranian side. And now, in the last few weeks, we've seen attacks from the American side, in which commercial ships have been attacked by the Americans. And in one such instance, Indians were killed as well, for no fault of theirs. I mean, you may say that, U.S. Navy has the right to have a blockade and some of the commercial ships have sanctions. But the reality of the matter is, like the Iranians say, that who has made the Trump administration or the Americans global watchdog or the police at the Strait of Hormuz? But the larger point here is that the narrative has shifted. So how can Trump claim any kind of victory, diplomatic, political, or militarily, when Iran has an upper hand when it comes to the negotiations? It is very much clear that there is desperation and Trump wants to give concession and wants to just get rid of this war somehow.
And I want to ask you as well, because Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, Turkey, Egypt and Qatar, they've all used these negotiations to really deepen their alliance. What is your view on the impact that that might have on the region going forward?
After this war, we are looking towards a new Middle East, a new West Asia. This is not the same anymore. The security threats are at all-time high. For example, what I discussed last time with you, UAE had never imagined itself to get embroiled in this kind of a war where they will be attacked, there'll be losses, there'll be critical infrastructure that'll be attacked. Saudi Arabia, I mean, it might claim that they are close to Pakistan. Pakistan have been close to the Iranians, but there is critical infrastructure that's been attacked in Saudi as well. And then Kuwait, Bahrain, many others. So I think we're looking at a new shaping of West Asia where the security realities are very different from what they were 3 months ago. The Americans may want a desperate deal as soon as possible, but I'm not sure if the UAE or Saudi Arabia or a few other countries, they might be allies of the United States, but they may not be on the same page, especially when it comes to lifting of sanctions, giving a large sum of money, because you're dealing with the same government. It's just the Ayatollah who has changed. You killed the Ayatollah on 28th of Feb, but now there's a new Ayatollah. What else has changed?
And tell me, Aditya, what will you be looking out for over the next few days to see whether or not we might reach a permanent deal?
It might maybe take 3 or 4 months. They will reach some kind of a deal ultimately. But the larger point here is, Laura, that the objectives that were in mind have not been met. There are several ministers in the Israeli cabinet who have been speaking against this deal. I spoke to a lot of people within the Israeli government, and some of the people at the very top told me that there is a trust deficit when it comes to Trump. Now, it is almost unfathomable to really understand when there's such a important strategic and defense partnership between the two, then why would there be a trust deficit? Now, the trust deficit is because somewhere down the line, the Americans thought that this is going to be a prolonged war, just like we saw in Russia and Ukraine, and they wanted a way out of it. But they did not have the strategic calculus or a game plan or a timeline or the leverage to really end this war. In the next few days or weeks, I would say the talks will continue, but the threat from Hezbollah also continues. This gives time to Hezbollah to regroup, to rearm itself. It's debatable how much will they rearm, how much resources will they get, how much capacity will they have. Some may argue that the Lebanese government, to an extent, is also aligned with Israel and US at this time. They also don't want Hezbollah. But all of this is impractical when the objectives have been sidelined completely. Lastly, the point is that if the people from Qatar and Pakistan are so trustworthy that the Americans blindly believe them to be the negotiators, then what have they achieved? I mean, apart from the handshakes and photo ops and the regular meetings, I don't think anything practical has been achieved. Pakistan and Qatar are not neutral negotiators at all. They are not, I'm not saying this only because India is a victim of terrorism and we've learned this the hard way, but look at the kind of anti-Semitism that has come out from Pakistan. regularly. Hamas leaders visiting Pakistan more than 24 times after 7th October. The first visit took place a week after 7th October terror attacks. And we know Qatar. We know Al Jazeera. We know how there's been Hamas or Hezbollah leadership that has been staying there. So how can Qatar and Pakistan appear as neutral between Iran and US? Anything that is achieved in this MOU or this peace deal, ultimately, I think it's going to be very difficult to implement, and especially when Israel is not there.
That's it. That's your Israel Intent. Thanks for watching. Do subscribe with your email using the link below. That would help us a lot. Thanks very much, and goodbye.